Wait, there's no... Oh, there he is. So, yeah. Okay, let me just make sure this position happens. Okay, thank you. Okay, on a commercial note, we're having a... it's very hard to believe that we're already at that point because it seems to me like we just started...
excuse me.
We're apparently close to midterm time. So the midterm scheduled a week from tomorrow. Okay, so we'll not have Shir the day before, meaning that Tuesday. We'll have regular Thursday, Sunday, Monday. Tuesday we'll have off, and then the Wednesday will be the midterm. Also, you should start, I'll give you specific marmakomas maybe Thursday, but just to get an overview of Bayroba Imotzei, some of which we've done already, so we'll try to streamline it, but there's a lot of other material. As I say, starting from, let's start with the Gemara and Halin base through Bava and Aleph, until after Kofel of Sakliya, hopefully we'll do today and finish off Thursday. But in terms of, the various psukim, of course, a discussion, how many lavin there are, how many malchus there are, that we discussed actually last year a little bit when we talked about Tmura in the beginning of Chulin. So I don't want to go through the whole thing again, but of course we have to review a little bit just in terms of Bal Yerov HaYimatzei, because that's an important paradigm. But very much along the lines of things that we've already seen, how objective is this Isar? Something we've talked about quite a bit already, in the sense that, is it immune to onus? Does it not even need onus? Or is it subject to onus? Questions like that. Does it depend on bylaws? Does it depend on rishus? Does it require ownership in rishus? Or is the ownership in rishus of someone else mafkia? Is there a difference between akum, hefker, hektesh, intra-Jewish relationships, mafkid benivkad, the Rosh, a lot of things that we've seen already, basically, but that we need to put in context of the Shabbat Atari and the Gemara, and of some of the Rishonim. And included in that also will be a little bit of discussion of the relationship, what kind of achrayas is koveya for Bal Yerov HaYimatzei. Achrayas even of a Shomer Chinam, only of a Shoel, or kind of the in-between status of Shomer Sachar, both in terms of what those signify. That's actually something those of you here who were here a couple of years ago in Bava Kama we touched on as well. We won't go into all the details, obviously. But, there were the different types of models for Shomrim and how that plays out in terms of Bal Yerov HaYimatzei. Obviously, it's an interface, so it's both of those issues. So these are the kind of things that we want to investigate. Very much related, of course, to, the Rabbi Shmuel issue and the other issues that we've been discussing. How Bittul could work against Bal Yerov, and so on. How could Hefker... that isn't typical Hefker work. Obviously, it's all interconnected, but Hayam and Beis through Vavav Bet Aleph, and of course, Vavav Bet Aleph, you have, Yichud Lo Makom and Schirus. The Schirus part we've done, we're not going to, reassess that much. But again, what the Maskana of the Gemara is in terms of Lohim, I'd say, just things to be aware of as you prepare. So let's just start with the a good understanding of the Shaka Bataria, Hamad based of Alma Ben Aleph, with, Gemara Hashitosis, look at the Rambams, etc. And then I will fill in on Thursday, I'll give you specifics and specific Rishonim, to add to things. Okay. Good. Let's finish up what we were discussing. Excuse me. So, just a couple of Ha'aros first. And then to go back on one point, again, these are massive topics that we're touching on in terms of the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov. But we're trying to do a kind of a quick, hopefully we're doing a quick job of it. One of the things I was suggesting, on 3 points that we already mentioned, or 3-4 points that we mentioned, that I want to pick up on another aspect of it. Within the position of Rabbeinu Hananel, and especially in light of the critique of the Tosis Rid, whose tshuva is published in the Or Zeruah, as I mentioned, it's also the Tshuva Sarid. I'm trying to remember the number, Pei something. I think the text is a little bit better, actually, in the Or Zeruah than it is in the Tshuva Sarid. But it's the same. It's the same tshuva. One of the things that we've been suggesting is that, in response to the critique, you know, what happened to the Rach is suggesting that if you hold Havar Lalab Yatzas, it applies to Yom Tov, but it would be absent, apparently, the Mitzvah Saseh of Yom Tov, and therefore wouldn't be subject to the din of Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh V'Yaseh, and therefore the Yaseh of Tashbisu would override. That's the view of the Rach, and that's the view that the Tosis Rid is critiquing, and some of the Achronim as well. So we talked about two aspects. Number one, is there a din of Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares on the Yom Tov side? That's the first criticism of the Tosis Rid. I weighed in on that. I think that their answer is maybe yes. Assuming that the Kares is a category, not the Befoel Dinin overriding the Onesh. And secondly, this is the big assumption, assuming that that carries over from Shabbos to Yom Tov, even though there's good reason to think, you know, that a lot of things get redefined, you know, within the context of Yom Tov. There's a dialectic, that's what I'm essentially trying to convey. And this is, again, if it's true, and I believe it's true, it has implications for everything about the interrelationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov. That on the one hand, it's the export, the source from Shabbos is critical, and at the same time, in the translation and in the transition to Yom Tov, you know, you lose a lot. So again, that's why it's dialectical. You wouldn't have, it only came from Shabbos, not from anywhere else. But, you know, it's not sustainable, you know, in terms of the, you know, particular theme of Shabbos. So you get the Tzura Din and the source, you know, but very much transformed. And then the question is, you know, how much of one and how much of the other and how you break it down and so on. And then a little bit that has to do with whether there were two Dinim in Shabbos to begin with, or kind of, you know, Shabbos was only one thing and then, you know, the Torah, you know, kind of used it, you know, as a paradigm. Again, in real time, none of this is all the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all Ritzon Hashem. So, you know, I'm just, you know, formulating it in a different way, so I think it matters. I don't mean to say that, you know, that there was... I do mean to say that intellectually, conceptually, the question is, you know, whether there were two stages, whether this is all part of the initial structure of Shabbos. I think all that is important, but, you know, it doesn't have to change in time. There are just two models, I guess, for the way, you know, that we perceive it. Anyways, so on the Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares side, that's the answer, I think. On the Aseh Docha Lo Saseh V'Aseh, I was suggesting that in general, maybe the role of the Mitzaseh of Yom Tov and the Mitzaseh of Shabbos differ in general. A, is there one in Minyan Mitzvos? B, is there one in terms of Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh V'Aseh? And what I was trying to explain was that the role of the Aseh vis-a-vis the Lav in Yom Tov may be more... you know, lav or b'shneim, lav or b'shneim, you know, and whereas in Shabbos, maybe it's two different mechayim. And once that is the case, the aseh is either less or more prominent in Yom Tov than it is in Shabbos. This is what I was trying to argue on Sunday. It's more prominent because, in a way, even the lav is really an expression of the spirit of the day, which is the essay. On the other hand, it's already captured, you know, with greater ownership in the lav, and therefore you might say, well, it's just a, you know, just a mirror. It's just a hosafa. So it's hard to know that. I think that there are contrary indications in the broader analysis of the relationship between mitzvah saseh of Shabbos and mitzvah saseh of Yom Tov. You know, I think it can go either way logically, and I think there are contrary. I mentioned things already, like Shabbos behema and other such things as well. But because of that, either more generally, or if you want to then be more specific, maybe there are, you know, two types of dinim in Yom Tov. There are some dinim of Yom Tov where there's an asay and a lav and they're separate. And there are other dinim where there's only a lav and there is no asay. And that, I think, is a way to explain what Rabbeinu Chananel really means. You know, what are you getting from Shabbos? If you're getting an av malacha from Shabbos, then it's going to come along with a lav and an asay. If you're just getting a lav from Shabbos, it doesn't have the full mikra kodesh, you know, imprimatur, you know, which has both dimensions to it. So that's what we've been pretty much trying to explain. So just to add to that a little bit, this idea that the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos may play different roles, and I was throwing in Yom Kippur in the mix as well, not just for good measure, but because, you know, it has to be. It's always the Shabbos Shabbason. It's a parallel question, but with a very different answer. So my own personal take is that, of course, Yom Kippur doesn't have Kivo Shabbos Mikol Melachto Asher Bara L'Kim La'asos. Certainly doesn't have that. How could it have it? On the other hand, it doesn't just have the Tzura of Mikra Kodesh of a Yom Kodesh, even a more severe one, one which approximates Shabbos. It too has like a primary theme of Kedushas HaYom related to Isur Malacha. I believe that this is reflected already in the Psukim. Again, I'm not going to go into all detail of this now, but the only, you know, a little bit of Rosh Hashanah, but Yom Kippur much more so, and none of the others. If you look at Parshas Emor, typically Mikra Kodesh, you know, is either the introduction or is connected with Isur Malacha. And the characterization, let's say, of the specific Chag, whether it's Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos, is connected with other mitzvah or other specific theme of that day. When it comes to Yom Kippur, that's an exception. There, Isur Malacha is connected with Yom Kippur itself, not Mikra Kodesh. And the Nisim and all that is connected with the Mikra Kodesh. So I think what the Torah is telling us, and this is borne out in the halachos of Yom Kippur, is that like Shabbos, Isur Malacha, you know, isn't just the Tzura of Yom Kodesh generically, that is the framework for Yom Kippur, but rather that Yom Kippur, like Shabbos, you know, the theme of its day includes Isur Malacha. But not because of Kivo Shabbos Mikol Malachto, but because of the theme of Kulol Hashem, the accent on Ruchnius, you know, during this day. The capacity to achieve that requires a withdrawal from constructive physical Malacha, creative Malacha, right? You know, so that there can be a focus on an emphasis on other things. But that's part of what Yom Kippur is. It's not just, you know, its generic framework. So that's, I think, reflected in Psukim, again, part of a much larger discussion. Of course, that's why Yom Kippur and the Rambam follows, you know, the Shabbos, and it's called Shvisas Asar, and there's a lot of, you know, interplay between the Inuyim and you know, and Akila and Shtia and Yisur Malacha. The details are not important for now. But the point is that, you know, just as you have this question about the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov, so too there's a lot about the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So, of course, there's no heterochal nefesh in Yom Kippur, we'll get to that in a second. But in addition to everything else, this question about the relationship between the Aseh and the Lav is a very important and open question, you know, as well. Chiluk Malachos is a major debate among the Achronim. Eruv HaHotza'ah, you know, is a big issue. So you can just imagine that this is a mass mumar, something we spoke about last year as well. You know, what doesn't apply to Yom Kippur? Anyways, Asher mentioned to me that the Sefer HaBatim, you know, who always has interesting and creative things to say. Is Asher here? All the way in the back. Also, if you read it carefully, distinguishes between Isra Malacha in all three. Are you going to be able to... Can you say it? Can you? Go ahead. So it's Inui Nefesh as opposed to Inui Aguf, and that's the theme of Yom Kippur, which is very consistent with what we were speaking about, actually. Right?
Yeah, and then by Yom Kippur, he said that it's not the Kabbalah and
the environment. So and again, I think that is also very much connected, although it's an expansion, of the Yerushalmi and Masechet Moed Katan, which talks about the fact that if there was no Yisur Malacha on Chol HaMoed, then it would just end up being a day of, you know, regular work. And people wouldn't be motivated, you know, to recharge their spiritual batteries and to focus on Talmud Torah. So again, Yerushalmi basically is, you know, the assumption of Yerushalmi is like to be defensive. Like, why is there Yisur Malacha on Chol HaMoed? Like, what's the theme? And the answer is to promote a certain emphasis on spirituality. But again, not like Yom Kippur, where it's a day of Inui Nefesh, it's a day of, you know, Kulal Hashem. But this is more like you should be doing, you know, things that are religiously purposive and meaningful. That's what Yerushalmi says in Markata. So I think that that idea, of course, is, you know, ramped up one significant extra, notch, of course, when it comes to Yom Tov. But the gap between Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, in my opinion, is smaller in some respects than Yom Tov and Shabbos. In some respects. And then when it comes to Shabbos, of course. Asher? When he's speaking of Pesach, he contrasts it to Shabbos. Hashvisa. Yeah. Okay. So I think this is a great, again, Sefer Batim isn't, you know, so accessible, it's not published so much. So, but I think we always find gems there. You know, it seems like Asher might be the world authority at this point. I think it's always worth looking. We sometimes get it in the, you know, Kamoi or the, you know, those works. But I think this is a great example where, again, each of these categories is formulated in a subtle way, but very differently, in a consistent way to what we're speaking about. In the same vein, Matan, where's Matan? There he is. Also just added a couple of good diukim, I think, to the way that the Rambam formulates in the beginning of the book, some of which were I had intended, and some of which he also just added, very quickly, to the way the Rambam presents the Aseh of Shabbos and the Aseh of Yom Tov in the beginning of each, including the fact that it's Shvisas. Yeah, go ahead, Matan. I'm sorry? Yeah, if you don't mind, just to mention a couple of what you mentioned to me, I think it's worth sharing, about the role of the Onesh, about the fact that it's called Shvisas Yom Tov, right? First, it defines a Yom Tov or describes the different Yom Tovim, as if that's, you know, again, when it comes to Shabbos, this is exactly one of the things that I meant. When it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is a Yom Shvisa, that's what is its essence, right? When it comes to Yom Tov, it's Yom Tov, and then there's a framework of Shvisa within which we express the dinim of the Yom Tov. But ever so subtly, by describing, you know, Yom Tov and the diversity of Yom Tovs, Yom Tovim, and then bring in the Shvisa. Now that's the Rambam's way of saying that the function and the role of the Shvisa is totally different. Correct? Okay, go ahead. What else? Tzimtzum. So one sounds like a personal Shvisa Sagabra, correct? And in Shabbos? So again, that's because, again, in Yom Tov, it's about how you spend the day and creating a framework, you know, that is consistent and conducive to the things that you are supposed to be doing. In addition to which, of course, is a Kepta Shel Yom Kodesh, or Mikra Kodesh, no question about that. But in Shabbos, again, the whole essence of it is the Chetzah Shel Yom. And again, I think that relates to something I said the other day about Chiluk Melachos very much, you know, as well. In Yom Tov, every Melachah is a Hechetimtzi, you know, of Shvisa Sagavra. Or it's a Hechetimtzi even of Shvisa Sayom, but it's all the same. It's just basically interchangeable. There are just, you know, quite a few of them. It's, you know, qualifying for the, you know, that level of quality. Whereas in Shabbos, each is a separate kind of violation, an attack on the objective Chetzah Shel Yom HaShabbos. Yeah. What else? Right. Okay, great. So those are things, again, and there are more. I think I mentioned that there might be differences in terms of Noshim being Chayavos, a whole bunch of things, frankly, in terms of the Aseh part. I mentioned Perek Chaf Aleph, Halach Aleph, and its analog, and there are numerous other things as well. Yeah,
would that also explain why the Rambam in the seventh Perek of Shabbos changes the gears of the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel from Hacharisha, or Hachorish,
Could be. I mean, in terms of Cheftza of the Melacha as opposed to the...
Yeah, the Mishnah is just complete. It's 39 verbs.
Right. Right. Okay, I didn't think of that previously, but that's a good point. Meaning this is because of the Rambam, it's all about chipping away at the day. You know, and it's the objective fact of that. Not that I like that. I didn't think about that before, but... That's a great... once you're open and sensitive to the... Once you're aware, there are so many things you can pick up on and appreciate. That's, you know, why it's worth... At some point you have to move on, but... that's why it's worth a little bit reaping, I guess, the benefits of understanding things on a certain level, hopefully. So just two other R's quickly. Josh brought to my attention that, you know, we talked about Parshas Vayakel, and I mentioned the Tzlach, and you know, the Ibn Ezra, the Rashbam, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban, And I contrasted it with the Sfarno. He just mentioned to me the Rabbeinu Bechai in that parsha also takes the opposite view. Instead of seeing Havara as something which potentially would have been Mutter v'Toras Ochol Nefesh, he sees Havara as kind of the epitome of an intense. You have a language again? Josh, go ahead. Got it or not? Where he sees it as the most intense.
Yeah, so he says, he reads the pasuk here, whatever. He says, "Ki yadu asheru amalachos shnei adam nesaskim b'hem, einam ela al yedei ha'ish, ki ha'ish sibasam ve'ikran. Ulekach tiknu lanu rabbeinu zekron b'lacha, b'mitzvos havdalah b'lotzai shabbos, shu tchilas."
That's also a great line. Why we mention havdalah as the example of like malacha, right, during chol. Okay, great. So, again, I just mentioned that the Chizkuni also has, mention of this on the other side of it, I guess. On the one hand, like the Sfarno later, Havara is Kilkul, and therefore that's another reason to be Mekel. I mentioned that when I was talking about, the counterweight to the Shagas Aryeh, who says, Mela Hotsa'a, to say, Ein Erev HaHotzah B'Yom Tov, because it's a Malacha Grua, so maybe it doesn't even apply to Yom Tov, that's one thing. But what are you going to say about Havara? Havara is such an essential, fundamental, Malacha. So what I said was, well, on the other hand, there's Kilkel, right? It's inherently Makalkel, at least in its Tzura. And, that's what the Sfarno actually emphasizes in the parsha. That's what the Chizkuni, but the Chizkuni says both. He says, on the one hand, it is it is Kilkel, and on the other hand, it's the energy source often, for other malachas, so powerful. Okay, so these are different perspectives in the parsha and in all of that, and that's very important. One other point, just before we move on, but we're continuing in a way. Before we move on completely, is another just quick ha'ara in the Or Zeruah. I mentioned before that Yitzi brought to my attention about which pasuk is quoted, number one, that they can quote the Aseres HaDibros, even though they're speaking about Yom Tov, and the Aseres HaDibros, of course, is talking about Shabbos. And I mentioned the same thing is done in the Sugya on the Mem Zayin Amud Beis, in Psachim. I just wanted to mention that the Rashash on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, makes reference to his comment on Rashi on Mem Vav Amud Beis. Rashi on Mem Vav Amud Beis does the same thing when he talks about Ofer, or if you do Okol Nefesh, but you do it Miyom Tov L'chol. So Rashi says that you're Lokeh. No, that's of course in the Gemara. But Rashi says that Lokeh Mishum Lo Sasa Kol Malacha. Okay? And the Rashash, member of the base on that Rashi, says, probably it's a Tovah Sofer, Rashi doesn't mean that. That's the Pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros about Shabbos. And Rashi talking about Yom Tov. So maybe he meant the Pasuk in Devarim. So the Rashash, again, on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, commenting on the Gemara, says, which does the same thing, says, look what I wrote on Mem Vav Amud Beis about Rashi. So there are a bunch of people who have called this out. But it's fascinating that it's in Rav Tosfos ben Peres, and a couple of other Rishonim there. It's the Rashi, it's the Gemara. So the Or Zeruah does the same thing. The Or Zeruah, when he wants to explain, Or Zeruah ends up, again, the Tosfos is really the Or Zeruah, ends up, you know, basically endorsing the position of Tosfos, the Tosfos Rithen. Yeah. Say that again? Well, they can be identical. And no, I think I understand Rashi. Which one are you talking about? Tzorcha Shabbos Nasa B'Yom Tov? Yeah. Niksir V'Hashi Yochel L'Chol Nefesh Shabbos Yom Chad HaKadushi the Trevay Shabbos Ikru. No, 100%. But at the same time, you know, we all know that there are differences, right, in terms of, we'll get that in just a second, in terms of, you know, the Onesh, right, you know, Skila and Kares, as opposed to Malkus, you know, other Chilukim, so Heter Ochel Nefesh, we'll get that in a second, you know, so no, I do think you're right. I mean, the Rashash just says, oh, Tosofim. How many Tosofim can there be? When there are Gemaras, when there are Rashis, when there's Tosofim and Peretz and other Rishonim, and there's Orzarua and Tosos Rin, basically. Right? It becomes, meaning, there's a little bit of looseness sometimes in the quotation of Psuki. Although, by the way, it's particularly hard to be loose or, you know, less rigorous when you're quoting from the Aseres and Nimros. Like, everybody knows that Aseres HaDibros is speaking about Shabbos. Everybody knows the Pesukim from the Aseres HaDibros. Unless the, you know, Chashash of Taromas Aminim, like, was so powerful that people stopped, you know, thinking about it and saying it. I'm just joking. But that's a, you know, like a brachos joke. Right, so it's very strange. But I think that the answer is a little bit what you were saying, Matan. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I just think you still need to say something. And that is, like I was saying the other day, and that is that the, you know, it's this dialectic, basically. We're borrowing from Shabbos, you know, not coincidentally. It's not like, oh, Shabbos has an Isur Malacha and Yom Tov has an Isur Malacha. You know, and A, either never the twain shall meet, or B, they're really just a common denominator, you know, that applies to both equally. You know, I think if that were the case, then quoting, you know, Shabbos when you really mean Yom Tov would be worse, in a way. But I think the idea is that Yom Tov's Isur Malacha comes from Shabbos. Whether it's because our Tudinim in Shabbos Mirosh, or because, you know, Shabbos's impact and its, you know, centrality is such that it became, you know, again, I don't mean, you know, in time. I'm speaking again conceptually and ontologically, not chronologically. So, you know, it became the source for, you know, Yom Kodesh and Kedusha, Isur Malacha, and Kedusha Sayom in particular, etc. So then the point is that, you know, it really does come from the Aseres HaDibros in some respects. You know. And of course it gets translated, you know, this is my movement, you know, of having your cake and eating it too. But I hope it's, you know, I mean it sincerely. I mean, you can understand why you're not going to have the full consequences, and it's not going to be a clone of Shabbos, even though it comes from Shabbos, because, you know, like it's the old, you know, from Shavuos days, if anybody remembers, you know, dun mino mino, dun mino view kibiatra, you know. But it's an objective question, meaning you know, when you export and import, you know, how much impact does the environment have? You know, how much do you lose in translation? And how much do you get, you know, in some cases, you know, a revision or a reformulation because of the new context, right? The loss of context and the you know, the formulation of context. That's an objective question. You know, in some cases we call it dun mino mino, dun mino yukubiatra. You know, when we discussed that in Shavuos back in the day, I'll just make a quick comment because there are some people who are there. And either way, it's just an important point. So we noted that, you know, some of the Mefarshim wonder, like, you know, is there like an objective, you know, a cross shas view, whether we say dun mino mino, dun mino view kabiatra? By the way, everybody knows what that means? No. Okay, good. It's always good to. Yeah. Dun mino mina, or dun mino view kabiatra. In other words, the Gemara there is talking about, the specific Gemara I'm talking about is, like the parshios of Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Ha'Pikadon, right, have a lot of overlap. And we learn some dinim, you know, from one to the other. And the question is, when you, you know, when you learn something from Parsha A, you know, and you apply it to Parsha B, so to what extent do you have to take it lock, stock, and barrel? Right? Or, you know, do you take the minimum and then, you know, you kind of retain, you know, the not the source, you know, context, but the, you know, the, you know, the initial context. Okay, so that's an interesting question, which we find a number of Gemaras in different contexts discuss. If you derive A from B, you know, do you have to take it fully, you know, or on the contrary, you take as little as possible and you retain mostly the identity and the characteristics of B, or something in between. So it's interesting. In that sugya, there's like, you know, Rishonim already, and then of course Akronim, saying like, oh, are we consistent about this? Different Amaroim and Tanaim and Psakim, you know, or not. And in the Rambam, for example, we found that there are serious discrepancies when you paskin dun mino mina, when you paskin dun mino yukabiyatra. In my opinion, there have to be discrepancies. There's probably a default, you know, position, you know, because it's a methodological question. But of course there have to be some discrepancies. It depends very much on what it is that you're talking about and the role that the context really plays. Why am I telling you that here? So here you have a classical case of this. You have things that come from the world of Shabbos that are being exported to Yom Tov, to Yom Kippur, to Chol HaMoed, right? But in the transition and translation, you know, there are some things that you're never gonna have Kibo Shabbos Mikol Malachto Asher Baro Lekim La'asos, and you're never gonna have Zecher, you know, L'maisa Bracious, you know, as a theological, you know, Nachish L'maisa Bracious, you know, and you're never gonna have you know, certain other things. You're not going to have anything has to do with Chiyuv, you know, Misa for Yom Tov. So it's not going to be the theme of the day. So on the one hand, if it all comes from the source is Shabbos, on what basis, you know, can you draw from there, you know, and then just, you know, change the details? On the other hand, how can you not? Right? You have to kind of adjust. So that's exactly, I think, why intentionally sometimes, you know, we're quoting the real source, Shabbos, even though there are, again, you know, Rashi's trying to explain a Malkus case, and so is the Gemara on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, right? But there wouldn't be Malkus on Yom Tov unless there was Yisur Malacha on Shabbos. So it's a little bit, I think, of what Matan was saying more specifically in Rashi. In that sugya, he's actually trying to highlight the common feature of Kedusha Shabbos for Yom Tov. Shabbos Ikri Yom Tov, Yom Tov Ikri Shabbos, 100%. But it's still the same idea and principle. Anyway, the Or HaRuah, interesting that the Or HaRuah quotes from the Asar Seder. Everybody have that line in the Or HaRuah? Open? Or in Tosfos Rid, Chuvos HaRid? It's interesting that he quotes two psukim. He quotes Asar Sadibros when he's trying to explain the Yom Tov part, which is strange, just like the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, and just like the Rashi, just like the Psachim, the Gemara. Right? And but then he goes further to try to show that there is a, that when you talk about an av malacha, that's always something which is only mechayev misa. He quotes a Shabbos pasuk. Eitan, do you have it? Yeah? Oh, I thought you you had that, you know, kind of look in your eye. I thought you were looking at it. I guess I misread. Anybody have it open? Nathan, you have it? Both the quote of Shabbos and then the Mila Vyasar said, they rose for Yom Tov. Go ahead.
They're saying
oh, that's a quote from the Sarasa Dibros. Even though he's talking about Yom Tov. Okay, go ahead. Is the source to teach you that capital crime is a litmus test for the shame of malacha, which in turn will then be, you know, transmitted or conveyed to Yom Tov. Albeit through the Asaras HaDibros, which is a Shabbos. Correct? Okay. So that, I think, is a very, very interesting phenomenon. Even here where he's quoting, you know, both sides, he's only really quoting one side. But that's what he's telling you. Meaning the Asaras HaDibros is teaching us about a Yom Kodesh, the paradigm of which is Shabbos. Of course, Shabbos also speaking directly about Shabbos. Okay. Now again, also tying Shein Malacha with the, more directly with Chiv Misa, you know, based on that pasuk is interesting. And I think there's one other interesting phenomenon there in the Orzor. That's the example that he gives of Mechamer. Go ahead. Not that
yet. Even further, he's misquoting it either way. The passage he quotes is like, is Rosas to Malacha, which is not exactly the other passage. It's not Kum Malacha Rosas. The source of the book is Kum Malacha Rosas. He's saying Rosas to Malacha, which is not any passage.
Okay. It's even stranger. Okay. But it's the point is, it's not and it's not, you know, the pasuk in Bo, lo yaseh malacha, and it's not the pasuk in Devarim either. Do you have the line about Mechamer there? In that same hemshech, he says, Mechamer, there's no chiyuv misa. Go ahead. So again, he assumed, the Orzor assumes, that Mechamer, there's no Malkus, probably it's not even Asur, on Yom Tov. So again, in my opinion, I don't think, again, because the Orzor ties into capital crime per se, so now we know the criterion is going to be right. Any independent ase or any lav, you know, which isn't chayav misa b'Shabbos, is not going to be also beyond. In theory, it didn't have to be that way. You could have said, you know, there's a machlokas whether havara is lechalek or lalapiyatzos. And that particular machlokas is a machlokas about Havara, you know, because of its special character, you know, whether or not it's an av malacha, or it's Dominis or Shabbos. That doesn't mean that there can't be other lavin on Shabbos that aren't Isur malacha, even though there's no chiyuv misa. So, for example, You could have said, for example, that Tchumin is either in its own right or because it shares a pasuk, according to some, with Al Yetze Ish Min Komo, which is Melechas Hotzaa, especially if you think conceptually they're kind of tied together, which is a big issue in Tchumin, not for now, but an issue in the Sugyan, Erevin, or is it Yudzayin, the end of the first parak, and a few other places. So, you know, maybe even though it doesn't have Chiv Misa, maybe it's part of the Shem Malacha. Not an Av Malacha, you know, but maybe Malacha, which is also B'yontov. Mechamer, as I mentioned, Ramban has two deos at the end of on Kufnun Gimel and Shabbos, towards the end of the Zachta, where the Ramban says, you know, is Mechamer like just, you know, a standalone Iser Lav? In which case, you know, probably makes sense what the Or Zeruah, I mean what the Tosis Rin in the Or Zeruah says. But the other view of the Ramban is that really it belongs, you know, to the Lamentes Avos Malacha. And that it's, you know, kind of a diluted Maisa. The Chetzah Shel Malacha is the same. It's the, you know, how much do you need the person to do it on his own as opposed to Beshutfus with, or, you know, remote control by, you know, the animal. Okay, once you say that, I'm not so sure that's the equivalent of Havara Lelav Yatzos, according to that Deya in the Ramban. Okay? So I just think it's an interesting question, and I already mentioned, what about, you know, Shvisas Deima and Shvisas Katan in Yom Tov? Worse, better? I can see, you know, mostly, it seems to be Machlokas or Rishonim. Does it apply? Does it not apply? But I mentioned that there's a Deya in the Rishonim says, no, it applies even more on Yom Tov than on Shabbos. Maybe because the Asay of Yom Tov is actually more prominent and pronounced, you know, in a certain respect, given what we spoke of earlier. So, just to sum up, I think there are some chidushim in the Or Zeruah, and in this larger phenomenon of, you know, which psukim you quote as well. Okay. Let's get back to one other point, but it's a point which, you know, leads us to mitoch a little bit and to, you know, the hetero kol nefesh, you know, as well. So it's interesting that the Rashash in Megillah, if I recall, I'm just trying to find out if I'm right, the Rashash in Masechet Megillah is troubled by this riva, by this view of Tosis, especially this, you know, the second view in particular, namely that if Havara is the Lav Yatzos, that it doesn't apply to Yom Tov. Why is he troubled by it in Megillah, of all places? What? Sophia? Exactly. So the Mishnah in Megillah, so let me just weigh in on that very quickly. The Mishnah in Megillah, on Zayin of the days, says what? Ein bein? Ein bein Shabbos yantav ochol nefesh bilvad. So the ein beins are like, you know, they are, you know, they're just there, you know, to be, you know, subject to controversy. Right? You know, you tell a Jew, you know, ein bein, you know, when you only have one nafkamina, you know, you're asking for trouble. So that doesn't mean, you know, that it isn't legitimate. Right? Ein bein Shabbos liyantav ochol nefesh bilvad. Right? So if you say, oh, you know, Tana B'Shir, but when you say Ein Bein, it doesn't sound like Tana B'Shir. You know, and so, like, what is that? So all sorts of questions were asked. The Rashash and others included in the barrage of questions this Riva. If anybody can get it open, it's the Rashash picture, it's the one in Megillah. I mean, the Ein Bein Mishnah appears twice. One in Megillah, and the other one in Beitza. Go ahead, Noam, you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh. Oh, excellent. So he's troubled by it. And there are other Achronim who are troubled by it as well. Right? If you hold up, our Lalav Yatzas, you know, means that it doesn't apply to Yatzas. There's more than one name, Bain. And what about Mechamer, and, you know, all the, and maybe Shvisas Behema, and maybe Shvisas Katan. So, of course, this is, I'm going to say, oh, that the Mandam or that Mishnah disagrees. But that's the end of that question. But if we want to give a more edifying, you know, answer to the question, then what we need to do is, you know, take a step back, you know, and, you know, multiply the questions, the barrage. Okay? So there are all sorts of questions, you know, that arise. The Rishalmi already asks, again, very briefly, Rishalmi asks, what about Onshin? Rashi and Tosis and Megillah. You have it open, Noah? Megillah?
Rashi?
Yeah, look at the Rashi for a second. Right on the Ein Bein. Oh, so it refers to what's mutter, right? Of course, there are other distinctions, namely what price, what penalty do you get? That's what Tosis kind of says too. You have a Tosis?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of, it's a question, maybe, is that what the Yerushalmi already asked this question? Maybe that's what the Yerushalmi means. The Rashash in that piece, as I recall, also suggests maybe, you know, again, maybe we're talking about Yisur Malacha, Ab Malachos, right? Maybe that's the answer. Ein Bein regarding Malachos, you know, but the whole point is that it's not a Malacha, right? The asset. Okay. What about Chiluk Malachos? Right, the Gemara does conclude in Makos and in Psachim that Chiluk Malachos B'Shabbos and Chiluk Malachos B'Yom. Right? How come that discrepant? Say, oh, because it's only referring to what is Asur, not the question of how many Karbonos you bring. Same kind of answer could be given. But, you know, once the list is growing, you know, it becomes, you can give a lot of individual answers to these questions. What about, again, Chamer, Shvisas Behema, Shvisas Eved, you know, according to the Chachmei Provence. Good. What about Malach? I think it's a very good question. What about Mitoch? So actually, initially I wouldn't have been so troubled by this question, but some Rishonim already are. As it says, Ein Bein El Hetorcho Nefesh Poldat. What about Mitoch Shuvitro Litzarech Utshalo Litzarech? Okay, what would Sim Chalei, what would you say about that? If I asked you that question. Some of the, it turns out Rishonim already, and also Achronim, ask like, what about Mitoch? Mitoch Shuhutu Litzarech Hutu Shalom Litzarech. So why is that on the Ein Bein list?
Well, some people have Mitoch as being a way of understanding the
Hetero. Ah. So I believe the Pnei Yeshua gives that answer, and that's what the answer I would have thought. And, you know, I would have been satisfied with that, meaning, you know, Hetrochal Nefesh includes, broadly, Mitoch. Interestingly, the Rambam asks this question. I don't know, did you get a chance to look at it? I think I told you to look, right? No? It was on my list. Pirshu Mishnayis in Beitza. The same Mishnah appears in Beitza. The Rambam was troubled by this question, of all people. What does Rambam say about it? Binyamin, saw it? Tani, you saw it? Did I not assign it? Am I I didn't. Oh, I thought I did. Okay. That's fine. The Rambam says that the Mishnah in Megillah, the Beit says, Aliba de Beit Shammai, not Aliba de Beit Hillel. That's pretty seriously to be taking this question. Wow. The Ein Bein Mishnah is not according to Beit Hillel. Anybody have language in Pirshei Mishnayos? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Which is mitok. Right. So the Rambam takes it very seriously. The Pnei Yehoshua gives the answer that Simcha Leib gave. He was mechabed in Simcha Leib. Right? Which is, he talks a detail in Heter Ochel Nefesh. But he himself admits that there's a bit of a problem with that. Anybody know what the problem is? Yeah.
Havara?
Oh, I see. I mean, you're saying, well, you know, if you hold that either Hotzah or Havarah are mutter in all circumstances, it's not really din of Ochel Nefesh, perhaps, maybe. Maybe, okay. But I hear that. That's a good point. There's an issue in the Gemara. What does the Gemara say about in Megillah, about the Ein Bein? This is just like an interesting thing to know. We're not going to get to explore these things, but you should be aware of them. Since the Moed here, especially, you know. What is the Gemara? Do you have it, Ezra? The Gemara there in Megillah?
Not sure.
Excellent, exactly. The Gemara says, oh, this would appear to be, you have it, not that bad. Okay. Anybody have it open? Yoni, go ahead. Oh, okay, important for us anyway to know. So what do you make of it? Yoni, what's the implications of it? The Gemara was troubled by what about Machshire Ochel Nefesh? And what's Gemara's answer? You're right, but the question is, do we paskin that way? Correct? So why is that relevant to what I just said? Because you would have thought that the answer would be simple. Namely, Machshire Ochel Nefesh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is an expansion of Heter Ochel Nefesh. So it's included in Ein Bein the same way that the Pnei Yehoshua thought that Mitoch is an expansion. And both of them are very logical. I believe, I have to check again, it's been a little while, but I believe that Pnei Yehoshua makes this Ha'ara. And it's a very important principle that emerges. Meaning, and it's a little bit connected to what Ezra was saying too, and that is, to what extent is this really true? Meaning, to what extent is Mitoch of Beit Hillel and, let's say, Machshire Ochel Nefesh, let's say, of Rabbi Yehuda, an expansion, you know, question of where to draw the line in Heter Ochel Nefesh? Is it Sorech Ochel Nefesh? Is it Malachas Ochel Nefesh? You know, is it Malachas Hayom? What exactly is that? We'll speak more about that in a minute. Right? Or, no, maybe there really are two different dinim. Do they need different Makoros? And if so, they need different Makoros to be Gala Milsa about the expansion? Or they need different Makoros, you know, because they're two different dinim. One is a Matir, or one is Hutra. The one is Hutra, one is Nechuya. How does it work exactly? Right? So for the Pnei Yehoshua, you know, Maybe that's what motivated the Rambam to give the answer that he gave. He didn't want to split between Mitoch and Makshire on this question. But for the Pnei Yoshua, it sounds like you need to. You need to say that Mitoch is an expansion and Makshire is not. Again, separate Limudim, separate Gzeres HaKasus, and if so, why? Also, separate applications, right? Like, what about Davar She'efshar Mibod Yom for Makshirim? What about Davar She'efshar Mibod Yom for Mitoch? And so on. So again, we're not going to prosecute this now because we're not learning Masechet Peitzah. But these are the issues. These are very important issues. Right? Rishonim, some of the Rishonim in Shidu Gubensis and Ksubis have interesting things to say, Shitishana, Raibid, about the relationship that Tosis Rid, the Tshuva that Tosis Rid actually, which is also in the Or Zeruah, has some interesting things to say about this. What really is the expansion of Mitoch? What really is the relationship between Makshirim and Mitoch? Interesting questions. Okay, so the point is that you can answer a lot of these questions individually. Or you can narrow what the Ein Bein really means. Again, some of the questions I think are less, you know, powerful. The Shabbos Aryeh discusses, what about Shalmei Simcha? There's no Shalmei Simcha on Shabbos. That I think, you know, was a little, you know, of an unfair question. Special didn't Korban Yom Tov. You know, though that's already more extraneous to what is permitted and what is, you know, what the tzura of the Yom Kodesh looks like, you know, and how it's expressed. But, right, how far do you go with it? Oh. But I'll just tell you my approach. You know, my view is like, you know, if we can find a unified approach to answer all of the questions, you know, that's always nice if you can do it. So, I think what you could suggest is not so much that we narrow what we mean by this, or that it's only according to this mandam or that mandam, or this is a special din, and so on and so on. But that what the Mishnah is really trying to tell us is not an exhaustive list, or even a list. The Mishnah is saying something conceptually profound. It's saying that Heter Ochel Nefesh captures, right, the conceptual difference with also pragmatic consequences of Shabbos and Yom Tov. If you understand, you know, well, why Heter Ochel Nefesh is mutter on Shabbos, I'm sorry, on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos, right, you'll understand the other things will fall into place too. Now, what do we mean by that? So, again, there are two, broadly speaking, approaches to Heter Ochel Nefesh. Okay? One is that it's a kind of a matir, you know, it's the counter-pressure, or the pressure, let's say, of being matir. Ochel Nefesh is reflected here. You know, maybe it's a pure pressure. So then it's obviously more pressure on Yom Tov than on Shabbos. Right? That's one possible conclusion. Right? Or there's more resistance on Shabbos, you know, than on Yom Tov. Or both. Right? In other words, just to make both, you know, clear. Maybe the simcha of Yom Tov, as opposed to the oneg, let's say, of Shabbos, is responsible for Heter Ochel Nefesh. Chiyuv Se'uda, Simcha, Hanas Haguf, right? After all, we do find, I mean, there are those who are, like, very interested, you know, in trying to establish, you know, that there's simcha in Shabbos. Like the Torah Tmima, just happened to I've come across a bunch of them, including the, you know, when I spoke the other night, on the night of Kriyas HaMegillah, Purim night, I mentioned this, you know, Yerushalmi, you know, Esh Simchaso, Teluya, you know, Bebezdin, you know, Yatzaz Esh Simchaso, Teluya, you know, Bekaima or something like that. So the Torah to me, that's one of them. The Torah to me says, oh, you see that the Medrash is attributing Simcha not only to, you know, to Yom Tov, but to Shabbos. Because it's contrasted, it's trying to explain why there's no Su'udas Purim on Shabbos. So there's a whole discussion about this. Is there Simcha on Shabbos? But the Pashtus, typically what we say is the Karasa Shabbos Ode, Kadosh Hashem Mechubad, Pasuk and Yeshaya. That's typically quoted as a din of Oneg Shabbos, right? When the Rambam says there's Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. And on Yom Tov, of course, there's Simchas Yom Tov. The term Simcha in the Torah, right, in various parshios, a little bit in Amar, a little bit in, more so in Re'e, is reserved for Yom Tov. Okay? And that's why it's the Shalmei Simcha, frankly, on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. You know, a very dramatic consequence of this is the view of the Ramban, which is that the reason that that Yom Tov, is mevatel avelus, and Shabbos, you're just not knowing b'farhesia, but of course it's not mevatel avelus. There can be, mostly two reasons for that. One is that, Shabbos is part of the fabric of every week. There never would be a Shiva, obviously, and Shabbos is part of the fabric of every week. So both, it would be impossible. And also, it's not a disruption. That's part of the fabric of regular life. Shabbos is part of every week. So Avelus should manifest it. It's not a threat to the anomaly of Avelus. And on the contrary, maybe it's a kiyum in Avelus that you should have, like a typical week, including Shabbos, albeit not Befarhesia, but at least it doesn't. That's my suggestion. That's a little bit exotic. But certainly that is a factor. It's predictable. It's in every week, and so on. But the other factor is what Ramban suggests in Tarzana, which is that Shabbos is Oneg, and Yom Tov is Simcha. And the stira between Simcha and Avelos, leaves no one standing. So Simcha overrides Avelos. But Oneg, doesn't negate Avelos. So in a similar fashion, you might say that, Simchas Yom Tov is different than Oneg Shabbos, either in the intensity of it. Again, Oneg Shabbos appears only in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Simcha appears in the Torah. It's maybe also the intensity or just the way that it's expressed. Maybe Simcha is more obviously, manifest, in physical joy. Whereas Oneg still might be more, multifaceted, and there's other ways to accomplish Oneg and so on. So the Chiyu, Se'uda, and Simcha of Yom Tov, is a more powerful force than the Oneg of Shabbos, and that requires Hetrochol Nefesh. That's certainly the way the Shagas Aryeh and the Netziv, and probably some Rishonim implicitly understood it. After all, famous Shagas Aryeh discussion about Rosh Hashanah. Now, as we know, there's already a Machlokas HaGaonim, and then Rishonim and Poskim. Can you fast on Rosh Hashanah? Should you fast on Rosh Hashanah? Is it up to you if you fast on Rosh Hashanah? Whatever, the details, not for now. But regarding that question, Shagas Aryeh tries to prove that you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. He says, after all, there's a heterochol nefesh on Rosh Hashanah, which proves that there's a chiyu suda v'simcha. The Netziv likewise explains there's no heterochol nefesh on Yom Kippur. because it's a chiyuv tzol, right? However, so that's one possibility. Or if you wanted to say it a little bit the other way, namely, the Yisur Malacha Yom Tov, you know, is weaker then, and therefore more overcomable, not as formidable a resistance, you know, as what you have in Shabbos. After all, it's Shabbos is Chiyuv Misa, Shabbos is Chiyuv Malachos, all the things that are true. It might be an aspect of it as well. This is one way to look at it, in which case, Hetrochel Nefesh doesn't tell you anything about Yisur Malacha. You know, maybe Simcha as opposed to only tells you something, but if anything, it tells you, you know, Lechumra, or, you know, it's not characteristic necessarily of other things. I mean, it might help you with Shalmi Simcha and, you know, with some other things, but it doesn't help you, you know, with the Onesh of Malacha or Chiluk Malachos, or the question of Laban and Essen and their proper balance, etc. However, there's another way to look at Hetrochel Nefesh, and that is that it is an internal limit in Yisur Malacha Yom Tov. In other words, that to the extent that you have an intrinsic Yisur Malacha, Kivo Shavatz Mikol Malachto, something that is Mechal Yom Tov objectively, and not again just Shvisa Sagabra, but, you know, it violates Chetzah Shal Shabbos, and each one, you know, is chipping away at another aspect of Shabbos, not just Hechatimtzis and examples. To the extent that that is true, right, even if you know, it's L'shem Oneg Shabbos, let's assume Oneg Shabbos is the equivalent of Simchas Yom Tov for the moment, you know, so like you don't mean anything, on the contrary, you mean to do it as a kiyum. That would be ridiculous. It's like all of, you know, it's like all the non-observant people who say, you know, this is our Oneg Shabbos, you know, this is our Simchas Yom Tov. Right? You can't violate the core and essence and say it's a kiyum. This is how I enjoy myself. This is like what's meaningful to me. Right? On Yom Tov, on the other hand, there's no intrinsic Yisur Malacha. The Yisur Malacha is a din in Suras Yom Kodesh, right? And it's about making it conducive for the themes of the day. And also part of that is Simchas Yom Tov. Or put it this way, as long as it's a kiyum in Simchas Yom Tov, part of the, you know, celebration of the day, So if that's the case, right? Well, let me support that first. So again, this is where the famous Ramban comes in, right? Josh, the famous Ramban. Yeah, Ramban is trying to explain the term in Parshas Emor of Melech Zavod. Right? What do you mean Melech Zavod? All of a sudden, this new phrase. Interesting, by the way. What does Rashi say about Melech Zavod? In Chumash.
Yeah,
in Emor.
Right, in Emor.
It says it refers to? Say again? Oh, so the contrast is to Chol HaMoed. But Rashi says you might have thought that a Dabar Aved would be permitted on Yom Tov, right? Therefore, being told Melech HaSavod, right? So Rashi, that's what Rashi says, and Ramban takes him to task. He says, "What are you talking about? Number one, it's not so clear Chol HaMoed whether the Melech is a Reis or Rabbanan. Secondly, who would have a Havamina that, you know, that there would be a Heter, Dabra, Aved on Yom Tov?" The irony is that, you know, once you finish with what the Ramban says, Rashi doesn't look so bad. Even though the Ramban looks good, don't get me wrong. But we'll explain in a second. So what is Ramban's own suggestion? That the word, that the phrase, Melech Zavoda, means what? means to exclude ochel nefesh. But the way that it works is fascinating, because as Ramban notes, and we've discussed this as well, right? Heter ochel nefesh is only explicated in the Torah in Parshas Bo, in a pasuk, which includes seemingly what, Kyle?
Pesach,
but it starts with the full complement. What's a pasuk? Or is it a base? Something? Got it? Or kom lachol yosev, or something like that. Oh, okay. Oh, so it's kom lacha lo yaseh bahem. Ach, asher yachel kol nefesh. That's the only explicit makor for heter ochel nefesh in the Torah. Which is why I mentioned the Ramach and his citation also of the Urayim, right at the very beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov. Like, how do you even know that it applies to the Yom Tovim? Right? The Ramban has an answer to that question. Ramban says, Parshas Bo is Isra Malacha Hetero Chol Nefesh. Right? And then Parshas Emor follows up with the phrase Malacha Savoda, which signifies this din, the same din, that is explicated in Parshas Bo, and which is repeated on all of the other Moadim, with the exception of Yom Kippur, where it doesn't apply. Right? Torah is Meduyak, Legamri. So first of all, that's an amazing idea, the Ramban. Okay? But now it leaves us with a very interesting question. Because you basically have two Makoros for Heter ochel nefesh. The first one, Parshas Bo, reads like a matir. In other words, it starts off that there's an Isur Malacha across the board, like Shabbos. Right? And then it sounds like, ah, asher yochel ochel nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. There's a matir. Right? And therefore you can look at heter ochel nefesh as overriding, as being docha. Again, whether it's hutra or dechuya might be a separate question, or might be a related question. We'll get that in a few minutes anyway. But, you know, that's the way to look at it. There's isur malacha, but it's overridden by Heter ochel nefesh. But the word melachas avoda, let's say, the Ramban doesn't analyze it this way. He just leaves it. I'm speaking now. The word melachas avoda could be now understood in light of the original Parshas Bo. The original explication is in Parshas Bo, and it sounds a certain way. But the export to all Yom Tovim, and the more succinct, let's say, encapsulation of Isur Malacha Yom Tov is one which doesn't counterpoise Isur Malacha and Heter ochel nefesh. It limits Isur Malacha internally. It basically says, on Shabbos, Malacha's aser. And on Yom Tov, Malacha's avodah's aser. And what does that mean? Malacha, that's why the Ramban, Malacha Shel Yomim Harbe, right? It's very beautiful the whole way that the Ramban describes the whole thing. As opposed to Malacha, Malacha Miyad, Malacha Zakium, Malacha of Heter ochel nefesh. So what you're tempting to say in the Ramban is that the way that it works is it's an internal limit in Isur Malacha. Why would it be an eternal limit to Isur Malacha as opposed to being a matir, you know, from the outside? The answer is because the whole Isur Malacha is hanging by a thread. I don't really mean that. I mean, the whole Isur Malacha is problematic. There's no Shavuot Shabbos Mikol Malachto. And there's no Kiyom Kippurim Hu, you know, V'nisan Es Nafsho Seichem. It's Chag HaMatzos, or Chag HaShavuos, or Rosh Hashanah. or Chag HaSukkos, or Shemini Atzeres. What does that have to do with Isur Melacha? So there's no intrinsic Isur Melacha. It's more like creating a Yom Kodesh. Maybe consistent with that is that there's a hetero Kol Nefesh. And frankly, once that is true, right? And that's, so again, which Ramban doesn't tell us. Is Parshas Bo conceptually the right way to explain how hetero Kol Nefesh? And it's just Merumas Bikitzur and to export it in Melechus Avoda? I'm assuming the opposite. Parshas Bo tells us the facts. And Melechus Avoda is the proper designation. If it isn't true for the Ramban, it's certainly true for some other Rishon, for whom it's clear that the din of hetero Kol Nefesh is an internal limit. I'm not going to go through all the details. In Isur Melacha. If all that is true, so then I think that we have a much better, more attractive way to explain the Mishnah of Megillah. Ein bein, Shabbos liyanta, b'lo chol nefesh bilbad. It's not an exhaustive list, there are so many exceptions. You can pick away at each one. We pass it like Beshamai, we're not talking about onshin, we're not talking about how many korbanos you bring. The whole bit. Mitoch is an extension, even if Machshirun is not an extension. Right? What about Lavin? Maybe we don't paskin that way. Or we're talking about only Avos Malacha. I'm not, you know, denying it. But there's another way to read the Mishnah now, and that is, if you really want to understand what differentiates Shabbos from Yom Tov, Ochel Nefesh isn't an extraneous, separate matir. It highlights the difference between Kedushas Shabbos and Kedushas Yom Tov, and the role that Malacha plays, and whether Malacha is an intrinsic, you know, theme of the day, or Malacha is the Tzura Sayom. I think it's very telling when the Rambam, you know, speaks about, you know, Shabbos, and what differentiates, you know, the lavim of Shabbos. You know, he speaks about, in Sefer Mitzvos, he mentions hetero Kol Nefesh. It's not just, you know, the mitzvos asei of Simcha or Suda, you know, Yom Tov. Oh. So if that's the case, we can understand the whole Rosh Hashanah. All the questions, basically. Right? What we're saying is, you know why there's no export of Lavin? And you know why there's no Chilak Malachos? Right? And you know why there's no Onesh Misa? And so on and so forth. Right? The answer is, as Hetero Kol Nefesh demonstrates, we take the framework of Shabbos, but not the Mechayev of Shabbos when it comes to Isur Melacha. So that, I think, works out very nicely. Of course, it all may depend on how we look at Mitoch and how we look at Machshir and whether Mechalik between them. Right, Mitoch in particular, you know, is open to, I'm going to have to stop in a minute, to debate. Right? Number one, you could say, oh, well, Gufa, this machlokes, you don't have to. I'm just saying you could. Depends whether you hold Mitoch or not. Right? Maybe Beis Shammai has a narrower understanding of Hetero Kol Nefesh. And Beis Hillel has a more expansive, like we said, Pnei Yeshua. Right? Pnei Yeshua was arguing against the Rambam and Pirshei Mishnayos, I guess, implicitly, and in contrast to Machshir Ochel Nefesh. Mitoch is like a natural extension, according to Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says, agrees conceptually but draws a line, or they argue fundamentally. Maybe Beis Shammai is saying, Hetero Kol Nefesh, the Matir, the Tzorech of Ochel Nefesh overrides And Beis Hillel? Ah, hard to know. So what does Beis Hillel think? So Rashi and Beitza, I told you to look at that briefly, the famous discussion between Rashi and Tosfos and Beitza. Right? Which is what, Stephen? Rashi seems to say, I'm going to go into detail, just wanted to run drive by. Rashi seems to say that Bitom Shuhut L'Tzorach Hutu Shalol L'Tzorach is really Hutra, even Bali Tzorach Klan. And Tosis thinks he needs Tzorach Ketzas. Of course, what is Tzorach Ketzas? Tricky. It's often understood that Rashi thinks Hutra and Tosis thinks Tehuya. I think that that is a little bit maybe too simplistic. And particularly if you look at Rashi and Tosis in the beginning of Ein Tzadin and Beitza. Stephen saw that too? I'm pretty sure I told you to look at that. About why it is that Kotzer and Tzad and things like that. Why don't you just say Hetzer Ochel Nefesh? Why can't you, you know, cut things? You want to eat it on Shabbos. I'm sorry, on Yom Tov. Why can't you hunt on Yom Tov? Why can't you... What is Rashi saying? You didn't see that Rashi? Zach? You got a chance to see that yet? Josh? No? Tani? Mark? Ellie?
Rashi said that it's Dira Bomb because Asher Meyasmal?
Rashi says Efshar Me'edmo, correct. And you should have done it Me'edmo. And what is, and Tosa says, what are you talking about? There's no limitation in Heter Ochel Nefesh of Efshar Me'edmo. That's a limitation of Makshire Ochel Nefesh, which is actually very interesting in light of what we were just discussing. Right? So what does Tosa say instead? Again, we'll make it clear. Rashi says that, you know, doing Kotzer, doing Tzad, even for purposes of procuring food on Yatif, is not excused by Heter Ochel Nefesh because it's Efshar Mibod Yom. It's only things where objectively there's no expectation of Mibod Yom because, let's say, cooking or Shechita, you know, they didn't have freezers in those days, you know, or maybe if you do have freezers, maybe it's always better fresh. So the expectation is, you know, you do that right before you eat it. Like, you know, we do that like we do today. You know, supper's in a couple of hours. You start hunting for your supper. And that's the way it goes. Right? Shechita. Talked a little last year about the Shechita part. Right? So, that's Rashi. Tosa says, what are you talking about? That's a Makshirim category. It doesn't apply here. Very interesting. What is supposed to say instead? Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I just looked it up. You just said Mishum de Dami. You're trying to explain Sudden, so you're saying Mishum de Dami the Ktsira. You assume that Ktsira is the problem.
But Sud is like Ktsira, and therefore it doesn't work. What's wrong with Ktsira? Why not do it with Ktsira?
Right. I don't see it explained better.
Ah. I thought it does. Does it? There, and then he makes reference to what he wrote earlier. Was it Gimel of the Base?
Oh, yeah. He makes reference to something earlier in Gimel, yeah.
Yeah. What did Tosa say? Tosa Gimel of the Base, a famous, famous thing. And what?
Not familiar.
Anybody? Ellie? Just out of general knowledge, if you have a chance to look it up. Tani? What?
Marisha Benula, the Hakish with Mata.
Right. So what is it? That what? Mishas. Oh, it's harder to hear you, Tim, for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah, Josh is having trouble with it also. Yeah, there's a hekesh there because it's learned out. The matzah, so Marisha Ve'ila.
Yeah. Meaning what? So what's the idea? This is based on Ben Shalacha. This is a very important view of Tosis throughout Shas. that the din of the heter ochel nefesh is limited to, like, you know, sidur depas type of halachas, right? So it's very fascinating. I'm just going to say the following. Again, I don't want to get too embedded in this. One day maybe we'll learn Beitza, but probably not for a few years, so this way either we can get a little bit of it. There's an interesting... If somebody were to ask me, right, to characterize these two very, very famous arguments between Rashi and Tosis about Heter Ochel Nefesh. The one in Beitza is the most famous, of course. You know, you need Tzorach Ktzas, or, you know, not at all. Okay? And then the second one, you know, Efshar Mibod Yom, or it depends on the cadre of the Meleches Ochel Nefesh, we'll call it. Intrinsically, melachos are associated with ochel nefesh per se. Food preparation. Right? I would have, you know, so, and people do. I mean, you could document this if you want. Right? It looks like they're opposite. It looks like they're totally inconsistent. It looks like, if you look at it from a hutrit dechuya point of view, let's say, it looks like what Rashi's saying is, on beitza yud beitza mdalev, is that melachos ochel nefesh is hutra. And Tosafot said, nah, you need some sort of a matir, Tzorach Ktzas. What is the Ktzas? Fine. Then you count, then you have the Chav Gimel, and all of a sudden Rashi Fadashi is not working with Hutra. Rashi's saying, you could have done it earlier, you don't get to do it now. What happened to Hutra? And Tosafot saying that, no, that's a Makshir. You don't have that in Heter Ochel Nefesh. Even if it's Efshar Mibod Yom, it's totally fine. However, we have something else. That is, we define it by the shame malacha, the type of malacha that it is. Meaning, it's not the tzorech, right? And how urgent, like you wouldn't have it without this? It's matir? It's not matir. It's the shame malacha. So in some respects, you could think that they're opposites. The Rashi Tosis on Yud Beis and the Rashi Tosis on Chav Gimel. However, I think they both need to be qualified. Meaning, when Rashi says on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, right, that it's Hutra, Tosus bombards Rashi with questions. Right? Like, what are you going to say about, Letzorech Chol? And what are you going to say about Letzorech Klabim and Letzorech Akum if it's Hutra? Tutra. Right? It's a big question. What is Rashi going to say about these things? Again, I'm doing the fast version. There's a lot of material on this. By the same... So what's the answer? It's not Lagamri Hutra. Even for Rashi, there's a shame of Melech HaSayom. If it's not Melech HaSayom, let me contrast it. I think I mentioned the other day... Shita Mugabetzis in Ksubas and the Otsar Gaonim in Beitza have this extreme line where they say, well, how many malachos are Asar B'Yom Tov as opposed to Shabbos? 39 on Shabbos. How many on Yom Tov? I don't remember the number. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter for our purposes right now. 27, 32, right? Meaning some of the malachos are not on the books. That's the way it sounds. But the problem is, can they really mean that? What happened to, L'shem Machar, or L'shem Kelev, or L'shem Akum? Very difficult. There seems to be a fundamental, as Tosis points out on your base, in Beitza, there seems to be a difference between saying Mitoch and saying Ein Erev Otzah B'Yom Tov. Ein Erev Otzah B'Yom Tov means this particular malach is not on the books. There are 38, not 39. Right? But saying Mitoch doesn't mean it's not on the books, because it's still also L'Klavim, it's still also L'Nachri, and so on. So maybe the Nafgemina is whether there's an Iser Tiltul or Muktzah, if Muktzah is an extension of Otzah. But But it sounds like Tosis understood Rashi in too extreme a way. By the same token, let's look at Rashi and Chav Gimel. Rashi meant, oh, you don't have the matir because you could have done it earlier? Or Rashi saying something more profound? And that is, this is yesterday's malacha, and therefore it's not a malacha siyom tov. Al pidin, the expectation is, if you need to do a tzeda or a katsira, you know, for yontif, then, you know, you do that erev yontif. So it's not just, oh, there's no matir, because there's another way to get the job, to get the result, and therefore you don't have the right to be matir. Rather, what we're saying is, it's a malachas etbal, not a malachas, it's a malachas chol that you're doing. Just like you can't do a malacha on yontif for chol, you can't do a malachas chol on Yom Tov. Like the Ramban says, you can't do a melechas yomim rabin on Yom Tov. So maybe the real Hagdara for everybody is, I'm not saying there isn't some argument about Hutra Dukhui, it probably is. But the bigger argument is, how do you define in Hetra Kol Nefesh melechas hayom? Oh, and that, there's an argument. Does it mean, maybe even Tosis says, what do you mean, Tzorech Ktsas? Right? There's a debate within the Bali Tosis world, how Ktsas is Ktsas. It shouldn't be a Melechas Avkal. It shouldn't be for no reason. It shouldn't be for Kal. It shouldn't be for Kal. It sounds like you need more than that. What, L'shem Mitzvah? L'shem Mitzvah Sayom? What is it? That's, of course, relevant to the final part of this part of the topic. Can you be Tzorech Chametz on Yontif, you know, when you find them? We're going to get to that. That's the next part. This one is leading into the other, hopefully. So maybe when Tosa says Tzorech Ktsas, maybe that's what they're looking for. And when Tosa says, of course, you know, only Malachos Shel Chatsa Shel Malachos Ochol Nefesh, right? Not even if there's a Matir Tzorech. Let's say you don't have any food on the table. The only way you can get food on the table is if you do tzad or kotzer. Can't do it. Still not a melechas ochol nefesh. A melechas hayom by definition. Oh. So all of these, the more you think that hetra ochol nefesh is a matir that's doche because of the mechayiv of simcha besuda, the more likely you are to calculate, to look at things like Esher Mibod Yom, how much Tzorech, and so on, in that way. On the other hand, the more you see, you know, as an internal halacha, you know, limiting Yisur Malacha in a way that is consistent with Kedushas Yom Tov, a malacha, which is L'shem, Kiyum, Yom Tov, whether it's the Simcha Shabo, etc., that's not also a malacha. Shabbos, you couldn't have such a thing. Because in Minei Uvei, it's Nistar, Adashir Shabo Shabbos, we call Malachto. But in Yom Tov, you can have it. That's what I meant before when I said that it's ironic a little bit. Rashi said, oh, Lemute Dabra Ave. So Ramban says, why would anybody think that Yom Tov would have a Hetra Dabra Ave? Chas v'shalom. And then he goes on to say, oh, what it means is not malachas ochol nefesh, only malachas yomim rabin. It isn't so far. That perspective, if it's an internal limit in malacha, is still different than chol moed, for sure. But it isn't, like no one would have said Shabbos has a, you need to be mamayit davar abed on Shabbos. Chas v'shalom. You don't even have such a hobby. But could you have such a havamina about Yom Tov? Not so bad. By the way, this is relevant to one more point. I'm sorry I'm late. Just give me one more minute to finish up. Was there a havamina that there'd be a hetra ochol nefesh on Shabbos? Or like it would be absurd? Right? We could say the kamash malon is that it's totally wrong. But that's an interesting argument now. How do you read the Pesukim in Parshas Vayakim? like the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra and Ramban. Or you know, other ways. Even more so the Ramban in Parshas Emor that I mentioned the other day, which is Ramban says the reason Shabbos is included in Parshas Emor is if there's a convergence of Shabbos and Yom Tov, you might have thought this after Ochel Nefesh. So the Netziv says, why would you think that? You should be Machmir according to the Chumras Shel Shneim, not the Kulas of Shneim. Can't be Mekel Kikulas Shel Shneim. He says, unless you say it's like a Korban, you bring the Korban Yontif even though it's Shabbos. That's not a good example, because you're allowed to bring Korbanos on Shabbos, and therefore Shabbos and Yontif are the same. So you bring the Korban Yontif, and you there's a Chiyu, you have to bring the Korban Yontif. You don't have to, you know, do Heter Ochel Nefesh. But again, if Heter Ochel Nefesh is about Simcha, so let's say you have Shabbos and Yom Tov, so you have Simcha and Onik. Why shouldn't you, because of the Simcha, be allowed to do Heter Ochel Nefesh? Right? What's wrong? In that sense, it isn't so far afield from the Korban Yom Tov. It's a chiyuv Yom Tov. But the maskana is it's wrong. The reason it may be wrong is because it's fundamentally wrong. Namely, it's an internal limit in Nisr Malacha Yom Tov. But if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, of course it doesn't apply. Okay, so I want to pick up this idea with regard to what happened, this stira, this apparent stira, between Kofim Olav Sakli, Bava Medalev. Why can't you just do Srefa of Chametz according to Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov itself? And the Gemara in Hamad Beis, which seems to say that you can. So I think I gave you some things to look at. Look also at the Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelek Aleph, I think it's Siman Ayin Beis. And the Ritva I told you to look at, Hayom Ad Aleph, here. And the Maram Chalava, also on Vav Ad Aleph. I'll try to keep it quick, and we'll try to finish off, in light of everything we've just done, to finish off this part of the topic, and then we'll move on to buy your own.